everything I heard from the time I got here, I felt like it was a rehearsal for the day we're going to meet him in the air. And we're all rehearsing what you're going to do here, you're going to do there. And it's everything, your worship, your praise. It's everything is about him. We've gathered together to worship him, to be with him. It was talked about the tabernacle, and I have that in my notes. It's like, what was the gathering place? Who was the center of the whole thing? Every song I've heard, every prayer I've heard, everything is about Jesus. And if you think about the first verse we heard, and I think it was the first I heard, how beautiful, and I wrote it down, how beautiful is it for the saints to dwell in unity? And the Lord said, how good is it? How pleasant is it for us to dwell in unity? But we have to know what unity is. It's who we are in the beloved. Gina's been talking lately about the doctrine of replacement. And you know, when I hear something new, I'm the type that kind of go, now, what did you say? But you know, it's true. We should all be so thankful, worshiping him. I wrote down, he's given me a new life. He's given me a new head. He's given me new clothes. He's given me a new talk. He's given me a conversation and a manner of life. If he hasn't done this, we need to come boldly. We can enter in. We can come and ask him, Lord, I want you to be the center of the house. This is your gathering place. Let it begin at the house of God. I want you together in my house. I want to worship you, give you the glory, give you the praise, because I'm telling you, when we get there, we are going to come before him. I can't even imagine. You take one revelation, one, just one revelation, and how you bowed before him. You couldn't make it one more step. But did he leave you void? He has never forsaken us. He never will. You'll have friends forsake you. Loved ones forsake you. People in meetings will forsake you. I'm telling you, the only one is Jesus, the center of all things. He is the one who's alive in you. You will love her. You will love him. You will forgive him. You will forgive her, because that is unity. That is because when we do it in love. Love to who? Love before our Lord. Praise the Lord for him giving us new life. He was the first fruit. We're told more would come. You know, we hear that, and it's preached many times. What can you say? What can you say about your new life? What can you say about the first fruit? Has there been much more? Because I'm telling you, when we stayed in our flesh, there was no good news. I sat there last night thinking, what would Paul want to preach about? Jesus, he said, as much as is in me, I'm going to preach. But it's not going to be what I want to say. It's not going to be what this is and that is. It's like, Jesus, out of the abundance of our heart, our mouth is going to speak. He's alive in our heart. He's walking with us. He's talking with us. You don't think he appreciated, out of the abundance of the heart, the singing that went on? Out of the abundance of the heart, the love when people hugged? You see, if it wasn't there, there's a work that needs to be done. If there's not forgiveness, we were talking about bitterness. There's bitterness. Come on, we got to admit it. But we have to grow up. He wants to replace it. There's that doctrine of replacement. There it is. It's beauty to behold. Oh, thou art altogether lovely, O Lord. But you know, I can't wait till he tells the first rank believers, thou art altogether lovely. You're beautiful. I see you. I see me in you. Christ in you. You believed my hope. You believed when I gave you glory. You worshiped me. You praised me. Yes, we give it all to him, our whole life. He opens doors when there seems to be no doors. He has loved ones who will enter in and take this message. I'll tell you what, when we heard about the Donnellys, That was Christ, the center of all things. It took one generation. It was passed to another generation. We're supposed to be giving out this message, this love, this forgiveness, this compassion. I just sat there last night. I go, oh, Lord, as I begin to make notes, I said, you know what? I can't even exhaust the grace of God. Because you know what? This book right here, I want you to get in the beginning of the book. I want you to go all the way through. Who made it through and why did they make it through? God gave them this hope in the beginning. And then Jesus, here he is, and we get to enter in. Enter into the glory of Jesus. Yeah, let no man take my glory. You know what? You could, but it's ugly. It's ugly. His glory outshines everything. He's all sufficient. And I thought, Lord, I know this seems dumb, but last night before I went to bed, I go, sufficiency. What is that? He says, it's me. I said, well, wait, I mean, what is sufficiency? He said, well, let's tell it you like this. Without me, you're insufficient. It's going to come up void every time. But if you get on your knees and you go before the Lord and say, you said you would never leave a void in our life. There's people who have voids, marriages, families. There's things everywhere. But he said, come to me. Come to me. Have you found what you're looking for? He wants you to know him. That's what's so amazing. When we don't seek him, he's still knocking. I want to come in, honey. I want to talk to you. Let me come in. Let's sup together. Let's share the word together. When you're with your brothers and sisters, I know we still have a body of flesh. Will we even glory in that? But we're going to get a glorified body. That's the finishing of this thing. He knows you got to have a body contain this. What is going on in the inside of your vessel? I want you to see how many things. How are you going to know the doctrine of replacement? When God, little Paul, what are you going to talk about? He's going to preach the gospel. When you go in, John 8, 31, 32, if I go in there, I tell you what, that's been my verse since I started my walk. And you shall know. You shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. You've got that liberty. You see, first he shows you about the new head. You can be married to another. He shows you those beautiful glories. But he says, you know, you'll know the truth. And it's the truth that's not going to set you free. It's going to make you free. He's making me what I ought to be. You see, the plan is finished. I looked at buildings as I was coming here. There was apartments and these boards, everything. You know, there were no walls yet. But just to behold the glory in the building, just what he was doing and how he's building it. Can you imagine the new Jerusalem? I can't even imagine it. But in John 8, when he said you'll know the truth will make you free. You're going to know you've been saved from the penalty of your sin. He took care of it. Don't let anybody keep throwing it in your face. You're a new creation. You are holy. You are acceptable. Don't try to be accepted. You are accepted from him. As I begin to look on this, you set me free from the penalty of sin. He's making it practical. You see, we can say, I've been delivered from the power of sin. Have you? I mean, really, have you? Are you taking that oneness? Are you drawing that life? You see, I'm the vine, you're the branches. We need him. Without me, you can do nothing. The first rank, you're going to hear the first trump. You're going to be the one, the first one leading in the worship. leading in the praise. He replaces, and I looked over here at Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 3. In 3 and verse 7, when Adam and Eve, you know what, they ate of the tree, they were told not to, thou shalt surely die. Take God at his word. But there came a place, and I believe this is being made so much more real to me. You really don't have to tell people what they're doing wrong. Just preach the word. You know why? Because when the very, it says in the beginning of the book, I heard your voice. We heard your voice walking through the garden amongst the trees. We heard your voice. Well, then God begins to speak and he goes, who told you you were naked? Who told them? You see, they knew. So what do we do? I mean, what did they do? I'll just do it that way. They got to do something. And that's what we do as babes in Christ. We think we have to do something. We got to cover this up. If you're nervous, cover it up. Put a big smile. Or if you're nervous or you don't want someone to see you down, there's nothing wrong with that. Stay humble. And when you're down, they may say, what's the matter with you? He'll come in for me. See, they don't see the expectation. He'll come. Why do you want people to see you down? It's pride. No better way of saying it. It's pride. He'll lift you up. He's not going to leave you void. Then, Gina, I'm glad you said these words. Doctrine of replacement. He took those fig leaves. They took them and they made their little garments to cover themselves, their nakedness. But you know when the heat comes, it's going to dry up, it's going to go away. But God already had a plan. Do you think God didn't already know? God took the skins of animals, the shed blood of an animal, and he clothed them. You see, he replaced it with something better. We have the robes of righteousness, true righteousness. I was going to talk about Adonzedek and how that self-righteousness, how it come out. And I said, Lord, if they were in the cave, why did they have to come back out again? Because you got to reckon it. You got to yield to this. You have to say, I don't want self-righteousness. I want the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Go in and look at those five kings. Who knows? Maybe someone will talk about them. I looked at the Ites. I thought I was going to talk about the Ites. You talk about the Perizzites, the Hittites. You talk about all the Ites. God said, I will drive them out without fail. You know what they are? They're flesh. Flesh. But he did. He gave them something better. And we know what that is. It's hidden in the old, but it's revealed in the new. We have the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That's why we're all here. I want to know more of what you know about my Jesus. You see, I want to know more. You know something I don't know. That's what true fellowship is. Washing one another in the word of God, being joined together in the oneness of Jesus Christ. Paul, what did he say? Lord, remove this thorn from me. Three times he said it. You think he liked the thorn? Do you like your thorns? No, you don't. The thorn does not feel good. It hurts. And you do, you go to him and you say, remove it. But he gave something better. He said, Paul, my grace is sufficient. It's okay. I can leave that thorn right there, and you're going to get much more than if I took it away. Thank God he's doing a work in you. Thank God because he loves you. He said, I'm going to give you tribulation. He's not just going to bring tribulation. Think it not strange, that fiery trial that is trying you. Look what he replaced it for. He's growing you up. You're going to have more than one of these. You certainly are. But you see, it worketh patience. Patience, experience. Experience, you got hope. Hope is what makes you not ashamed. You got to have that expectation. But I love the end of the thing. Started in love, ends in love. The love of God is going to be shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost because of the tribulation you're going to go through. We all are going to have them. We just had this tribulation in this world. You're going to have tribulation. But stop looking at it like it's a bad thing. It's to bring you into highest glory. Highest glory. The high calling of God. If it ends in love, what do we read in the Bible? There was faith, there was hope, and there was charity. We are believing, we are enjoying the hope, the expectation of it. But charity. Look at charity. It's forever. You see, he said, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I'm replacing it with all the foolish love that men talk about. He said, I want to show you real love. Real love. Let's go over to Isaiah 55. Because when I read this, I was like, oh, this, Lord, this all fits. Ho. That's the first word. Ho. Now, we know Israel hasn't come in to really enjoy all this yet. But I want us to think about us in our life. You may have come at one time. Have you wandered away? Have you got some voids now? You got some emptiness? The Lord wants to fill them up with him. Ho. Who's he saying this to? Everyone. Everyone here. Ho. Everyone that's thirsty. And I'm telling you, when I studied, it was like, are you thirsty and dry? Look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain. He's going to pour out the Holy Ghost. He's going to share these beautiful truths with you. But you have to say, I'm going to hope. I'm going to. It's here. Everyone. Are you thirsty and dry? Come ye. You got to come. Come to the waters. You can be so sad. Come to the waters. And I did think this when I was studying. I'm going to living waters. And it's like, that's why it's so good. It's living waters. He's alive in us. We have to have that hope, that expectation. It's not I that liveth. It is Christ that liveth in me. And he that hath no money. I love that part. You ain't got no money. I go, oh, good. I can come here. Come ye. You get a buy. I go, how am I going to buy with no money? You see, the natural man cannot understand spiritual things. You see, you're not going to come in and bargain with God. I used to tell you, we do it. People don't say that, but we have to bring that practicality. Let people know you're human. That God did a change. I did it. Lord, I go to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, do this, do that. And why do I have to suffer like this? What do you think? You're bargaining with God? Now you're going to tell God what to do? People, we couldn't do anything in the beginning. Why do we think we can do something in the middle of the thing or towards the end of the thing? You guys, there's a preparation being done. Preparation. I was watching a horse race. Thought I was going to talk about that too. I was watching a horse race. Have you ever seen those horses? You see a horse. But you got to look beyond just the horse. You see, there's something on the inside of that racer. And I was looking at the muscles and just the stride when that little horse was walking. Those muscles were all working together. It was beauty to behold. Most people don't look at it. Look at the beauty to behold. What is going on the inside? That horse that's really running to win him. I love it because I tried it.
I studied about this. A good racehorse, and I'm not telling y'all to go out and start betting now, because I won the race on the game. And I looked and I said, okay, which one of you horses is Prancing Beauty, but you're holding your little head down? Do you know that's the winner? And I go, I picked number two, witness. And here my little horse started running. He's dressed in a green coat, eternal life. And I was going, run, baby. I'm on an airplane, guys. I'm going, I don't know what George and Roger were thinking, but I'm going, go, go, go. And I was like, come on. And she finished, or he, whoever, he finished. And I go, it's true. Think it not strange. These things we're going through, it's building up your muscle. You're growing up. That's what we're joined together for. Ephesians chapter 4. We are one body. We've got one Lord, one baptism, but we're joined together. He gave pastors. He gave preachers. And I love the word because we kind of jumped the word. Some pastors. He gave some preachers, some and some. But it was all for the same purpose. That we could grow up together in love and in unity, in the oneness of our Lord. Perfect, the fullness. He wants us to have all of it. Well, you come get your wine and your milk, and it's without money and it's without price. Jesus paid it all. Now, I want you to think these words out. Well, wherefore do you spend your money for that which is not bread? And your labor for that which satisfies not. Come on now, you can get a new something, and it only takes a couple weeks, and it's like, oh, now I just got to make the payments on it. It really doesn't satisfy. Only Jesus can fill the hole. And I heard it in the song. Hearken diligently. Listen to me. Not me, he. Eat ye that which is good. Let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear. He that hath an ear, come on. Hear what the Spirit has to say to the churches. Come unto me. Come. Your soul is going to live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. His promises are yea and amen. Even the sure mercies of David. Do you believe there's a throne to come? You see, we've got to get ready. The preparation takes a long time to us. But his time, so quick. Behold, I've given him for a witness to the people, a leader, a commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that knowest not, and nations that knew not thee, they're going to run unto you because of the Lord your God, for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Israel may say this later, but we say it now. I have been sanctified. Provisionally, we have it all. Everything we need for the journey, you've got it. Now you have to draw and take it. Let it become yours and fall in. You're going to fall deeper and deeper and deeper in love. You won't want anything. Seek the Lord, people, while he may be found. Call upon him. When was the last time you called on him? While he's near. Now here we go. It was hoe and come, get all this goodie. There's a change going to happen. Replacement. Let the wicked forsake his way. Let the unrighteous man, his thoughts, get rid of them. Let him return to the Lord. And I thought, let him return to the Lord. Even the churches, the seven churches, repent from whence thou art fallen. Don't get caught up in you've fallen. If he says, repent, remember from whence thou art fallen. Now you know your first love, it was him. Return to the Lord, he's going to have mercy upon him. To our God, he is going to abundantly pardon. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, says who? The Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. You see any replacement here? Something better than? And then you go, I want you to go down to this verse. His word is going to go forth in verse 11. It's going to go forth out of my mouth. It's not going to return unto me void. It shall accomplish that which I please. You don't know what it is he wants. But wherever in scripture, wherever, he did a work, he did a fight, he brought the victory, he gave the reward. It's going to accomplish what I sent it out to do. And I like 13 because we're talking about the doctrine of replacement. Instead of the thorn. Where'd that thorn come from? Remember the curse? Instead of a thorn shall come, it will come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar, it's going to come up a myrtle tree. It shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. You guys, we are a testimony of who he is and what he's done. Your families, I'm not saying everybody's, some may not open this Bible up to read to find out, well, what are your ways? Let your light shine. They may not know. They may never open the book. I told Shelley, why is it every time I come to your house, you got to talk about bitterness? How the Lord, it brings it out though. But see, you got to listen. If you don't listen, it'll just be a hunk of words. Why, Lord? Every time he's helped me with a bitterness I've had. But you got to admit it. Are you bitter about something? Get in the word of God. What do I do with bitterness, Lord? Because it's robbing Jesus. It's robbing him of that oneness that he wants to gather together. One name, one body, one spirit. And I'm going to say it, one love. And I'm going to end it with love never. And you can tell me later if you think so. Love, true love, never fails. What's lacking in this world? Love. They've got the love of money, the love of this, and the love of that, but the love of Jesus is not there. Come to the water. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, I just come to you in the name of Jesus. I thank you for bringing forth the word, Lord. I thank you for what you do. Oh, I thank you, Lord, that we can just show up, open our mouth. You're the one who needs to speak. You're the one who does it. And you're the one who gets the glory. You get the honor. And oh, when that power comes forth, even in the thorny times, the power is yours. Your strength is made perfect in weakness. I pray for the saints, Lord. I pray that we see our need. See our need and come humbly before you and just admit it. I want to see you when you come. But I want to know you in all of your glory. Father, I just thank you for this day you've given us. And for the rest of the messages, just let them be led and guided by the Spirit. And as we're about to sing this song, I pray that we just, have you found what you're looking for? Look at the words and just thank God. Thank him for what he's given us.